everything I can. Now this may be so, this may be true, but many times, and I'm setting this forth as a warning, many times when we start to justify the lack of results, if you will, in our personal ministry, what we're basically doing is putting a cloak over our own disobedience. Because we don't want to be accountable, getting right back to that word again, because we don't want to be accountable and responsible, we're really, really good at making excuses. So let's lay the excuses aside, take it to the Lord in prayer, do our due diligence in God's Word, and allow the promotion to come from the north, to allow the Lord to do His work through us, being diligent to present ourselves approved to God as workers who do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can we understand what the word of God says if we don't spend time in it? Christian, be ye convicted by this thing. So as we continue to pray and spend time in scriptures each and every day, our faith will be strengthened as we go out in the world and apply it. Those who heed the injunction to share the hope that is in us will be strengthened in the faith. Fourth, he who wins souls is wise, because the soul winner stores up treasures in heaven. Jesus said this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Alfred Gibbs, in his book, Personal Evangelism, poses this question. He poses it to you and I this morning. Suppose you were offered $1,000 for every soul you earnestly sought to win for Christ. Suppose as you left here this morning, we said, "We're going to give you $1,000 for every soul that you lead to Christ. Just bring them back here next week with the testimony for what the Lord has done, and we'll give you $1,000, right? Suppose we were to do that, hypothetically speaking now. Would you, for this reward, seek to win more souls for Christ than you are doing right now? If so, your love for money is greater than your love for Christ or your fellow man. The greatest treasures, indeed, are heavenly ones. Do you need a priority check? Finally, we'll define various categories of sinners and offer practical instruction for winning each kind. This list is by no means exhaustive, for every individual is different. But nevertheless, I'm trying to set forth some general practical helps. Now, occasionally the Lord is going to send somebody to you saying, "What must I do to be saved?" The Philippian jailer might be placed in your path, or the eunuch might be coming by in his chariot, reading the scriptures in the book of Isaiah, asking you to explain them to him. Now, these cases are wonderful. We can explain from that starting point who Jesus Christ is and what He's done, that He came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, and of whom you are also one. And we can explain the gospel right then and there. No, those cases happen, but they are few and far between. Soul winning takes work. I'm going to lay out for you four people, a couple of guys and a couple of ladies. Now, don't necessarily know, you know, either of these things are unisex. By this I mean that even though we're going to talk about Mr. Kalis, we can have a Ms. Kalis too. Mr. Kalis, this is the sinner who is living life as if God does not exist. Mr. Kalis doesn't have a care in the world with regard to spiritual things. He's going about his business. He's going to work. He's mowing the lawn. He's going out for a few drinks with his buddies on Friday night. Mr. Kalis, the man of the world. In most cases, this person isn't averse to God. They're going to say, yeah, I believe in God. You get your God, I got my God. Yeah, okay, whatever. The challenge is to awaken Mr. Kalis to the danger of neglecting spiritual truth. Now, in the paper, the companion paper to this, as I've said at the table, it's got several scriptures listed. I'm going to put forth one for each type of sinner. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 was of this nature. Mr. Kalis, he was eating, drinking, being merry. He had plenty of money. He didn't have anything to worry about. And then he finds himself in torment while Lazarus is being comforted in the bosom of Abraham. Presumably, Lazarus had warned him of his fate, but he had been careless. And so there he was on the other side. In the opening, our brother warned us not to be one who's standing on the side of heaven, as it were, looking at such a one, looking at Mr. Kalis standing on the other side saying, I could have told him, but I didn't. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A brother brought in some tracts this morning. The offer of an eternity in heaven. I'd asked him if it expires. Now, there's no expiration date on this thing. But you know, then I'm thinking, right afterwards, I'm saying, friend, you know what? That's a good offer. But there is an expiration date on the Lord's gracious offer to heaven. The expiration date is this. It expires when you do. You're not going to have a chance to go from here to there, to go from heaven to hell in the afterlife, but you've got a chance now. And that's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Ms. Skeptic is usually awakened to her spiritual need. Many are legitimately skeptical because of their upbringing or their background or whatever. They've been brought up to, you know, think things through and to study to see whether things be true, or maybe they've been, told that not all roads lead to God, which is true. The only way is through Jesus Christ. But maybe they've falsely come to the conclusion that because not all roads lead to God, any of them can, or none of them do. And so, what we need to explain to these folks, what we need to impress upon Ms. Skeptic, is that a second birth is required. A second birth is needed. Ye must be born again. And that second birth is only attained by coming to God through the appointed way of which the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You want to try another way? Go your way. Good luck, but you're not going to come to the Father. For there is no other name under heaven by which salvation, or through which salvation might be attained. Mr. Smokescreen! Mr. Smokescreen, we all know this guy, right? He's using skepticism as a smokescreen to evade accountability. Here we go again, right back to that. These are the people who, oh, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic. Yeah, right. Everybody knows there's a God. The Bible doesn't leave room for that. You're not an atheist or an agnostic. You're just coming out with this kind of foolishness because you don't want to have to deal with God, so it's easier to say he doesn't exist, or he doesn't have a claim on me. Or at every turn they raise objections to the truth. Some of these, many of these are legitimate. At a certain point in time, it becomes ridiculous, and the person is actually exposes themselves for simply trying to dance around obvious truths, that they don't want to be accountable on individual things. So what we've got to do, folks, is simply listen to these folks and always bring them back around to the gospel. Because chances are, the gospel has never been accepted in their heart. Saying, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Misdeceived, the sinner has many misconceptions about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the faith. Be careful, because many of these conceptions are deeply rooted. Somebody's been brought up a certain way with false teachings or false understandings, or they've been taught a certain way in university. Now be patient in pointing out the errors. Know the Word of God. Be diligent to know the Word of God and explain. No, the Bible does not say this. And it says so here in black and white. You see, many of these folks have a very high view of the Word of God. They've been brought up a certain way, but they agree that there is a revelation from God. So if we can get them to agree on that, we've got a good basis. We've got a good starting point. So to show such a one in the Bible where it says a certain thing, or where it says this certain sin is sin, where it says here that a child is a person in the womb, it says here in God's Word, and therefore abortion is wrong. It says here that homosexuality is unnatural and that it's wrong. It says it here. God said it, I didn't say it. It says here that there is no other way, no other mediator between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. It says it here. And these are God's words. God said it. Bringing people back to the truth of God's Word. In general, we can say to the law and to the testimony, to those who have been taught that salvation has been lost, can be lost, Jesus said that those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once you come to Christ, Christ won't say, no, never mind, I'm not going to accept you, beat it. No! Far be it from God to say such a thing. If he has said that those who come to him have eternal life, then he means it. And this promise is for you. Those who have been taught that salvation can be lost. Okay, Roman Catholics, who are often confused about the role of works in salvation and the role of Mary. Well, the Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus. And therefore, to pray to Mary is out of bounds, biblically speaking. There are others, the Oneness Pentecostal cult and other charismatic groups, which deny the Trinity and or teach that speaking in tongues is required evidence of salvation. This, too, is a false gospel. All three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are all co-equal members of the Godhead, all divine and all eternal beings. And what's more, to teach that speaking in tongues is a requirement of salvation is a false gospel, because the gospel is never presented this way in the clearest text we have concerning it. To such who preach a false gospel, let them be accursed. I stand with the Apostle Paul on this thing. Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the deity of Christ, know in the Bible, where your Bible tells you that Jesus Christ is divine. Right in the beginning, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, you want to mess with the translation? Fine, very good. Take a look at John 8, 58. When Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, and Jesus uses the divine name. Tell me, friend, why then did the Jews who believed in God pick up stones to stone him from blasphemy? Play with the translation all you will. But friend, know your scriptures and know where it says these things. Now there was a king in ancient Israel named Solomon. He is famous for asking wisdom, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Do you wish to please the Lord? Do you wish to please the Lord? If so, I encourage you to seek wisdom and do wise things. Now here's a place to start. For the scripture says that he who ensouls is wise.